true, that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions he asking. You find them inside you, beside you, reciting the records of Kashuk. We laughing, we drafting the passion through fabric. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listeners, listen, we traveling. Consciousness is always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's pass it. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
Say one more thing.
Yeah, these are words that are saying from my head to whole face. Me speaking to you.
Let's hit record. Look at that. Recording. What are you doing? It's been too long.
I feel like we live different lives now.
We really have, haven't we?
I mean, we talked like 2 weeks ago, I think, but you were in such a daze.
Yeah.
You were in a state. You were in a different, like, it was almost like a different person was, I don't mean you weren't you, but you were so subdued and so, I think you were sick and tired and emotionally wrung out in a way I've never seen you before. You weren't grumpy or you were just like, yes, so here's what's happening and this is what's been going on. This is the new me. I don't have peaks and valleys in my expression. I'm just,
wow,
just okay. Speaking to you from this state of complete neutrality.
Well, I was so exhausted emotionally. You're right.
Yeah.
I was so, so wrung out. I had been, have you dealt with like a sudden death in recent years in your life?
Not of late.
Okay. I'm sure there's another example that could work well too, but like, it was the kind of thing where it's like, there was so much to handle so quickly. And then you're grieving at the same time. And still, when I think about it, I'm just like, there's a way that, so like we dealt with everything, my sister and I, and then we both had to like go back home to do life, but we're leaving my dad by himself. So there's a way that, and I've been checking in on him every day and just like being in better contact, but there's a way that like, it feels very wrong to have to like not be there still, but also right. Also it's trippy. It's like complicated, I guess.
Yeah. That thing about walking, like leaving someone behind whose life is now profoundly different.
Yeah. And it's not like he's a young guy. He's not great at being alone, and B, he's almost 80. And so it's hard. You know, I watched him go through when he and my mother got divorced a million years ago. He didn't do well alone and was remarried within 9 months.
Wow.
Because he was like, can't do this. Nope, I'm all fucked up. And he's not, I don't see him pursuing that again. Granted, he's a different person. Much time has gone by. Who knows what'll happen? We're staying open. Hooray. But it does feel like I should be there more often. And I'm going to be. I'm going back next week, which is nuts.
Yeah.
Like it's basically like as soon as my auditions are done, I just get in the car and go.
Oh, wow. Just to check in on him?
Well, it's Christmas, basically.
Oh, go do the Christmas thing.
Yeah, it's sort of I'll do like a long Christmas thing. The only bitch of it is he's asking that I not bring Squeezle because she chases his cats and it's like stressing him out that the cats and the dog. And I'm it's very expensive for me to leave Squeezle if Eric's not here and sad because I miss her. So it's like, I don't want to push back on anything with him right now. I'm trying to just be like, sure, whatever you need.
Yeah.
But on this point, I'm going to have to either say like, hey, I'm going to need you to pay for a place for me to stay because I need to bring her and she needs, or I need you to pay my dog sitter because I can't.
Yeah.
But that feels shitty.
Yeah.
To say to a guy who's grieving the death of his wife.
Yeah. But also, yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's a hard one because, I mean, also, but not really because money's just money. It can be.
Right. And he tends to be very, like, this is my dad's deal. Like, I'll give you an example. When I was there and I extended my stay by, I don't remember, 5 or 6 days or something. I said like, hey, here's the options. I could sleep in the extra room in the house or I could get another Airbnb, but I've got to move today and it's a little pricey. And he was like, I got you. And just texted me or just PayPal'd me money to stay a place.
Yeah, exactly. That's
so like probably. Yeah.
Yeah. You can always frame it in that way, too. It's not like, look, if I'm going to do this, then you got to do this, which is granted not your tone, but
I know what you mean. Yeah.
If it literally is just like, well, I really don't want to leave Squeezel. I totally understand why. It totally makes sense. Can you help me out then? Because if I'm going to do that, I either need to have a separate space, which I can bring my dog, which I would love, but I can't afford that. Or can you pay for a dog sitter? Because I can't afford that either.
Yep. That's good.
Because I really want to come and see you, but I can't afford it if I can't bring my dog.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep. And he'll understand. I think it's hard. It's hard. Just like, it's just hard.
Yeah. And then there's the ultimate question of like, now what for him?
I mean, it's so big. It's like for me, when things like this happen, I just go to one day at a time mode because I can't. It's just my favorite thing from 12-step recovery that I internalized after all those years there is like, okay, when things are too huge, okay, we're just in today. And for today, like, is there a roof over my head? Is there food here? Do I have water? What's required of me today? What do I think is required but actually isn't? You know, you're just one day at a time.
Yep.
And then like tomorrow's problems are tomorrow's problems, you know? So that's how that works.
Yeah.
For me. And I will say it's been nice to be back just to be out of like the full heaviness of the grief stuff. Like being home is like a relief.
And you're finally able to return to the charnel house of COVID-ness that your partner was living in.
Well, so fun twist, ready?
You have COVID.
No, God. Thank you, God. No. I get back to California. Eric has COVID. I can't go home. So I stay in Danville for a few nights with my friend Yvonne, who we've had on the podcast. He finally starts to test negative a few days later. Yay. Oh, my God. I get all my shit out of Yvonne's house. There was one day where I had to like drive to San Mateo, drive back to Emeryville, drive back to Danville, get my shit, come back to Emeryville. It was one of those days.
Yeah.
And it was all in like rush hour, which was a ton of fun. Anyway, I get home. I'm here two nights. We're like sleeping and it's cozy and the dog is happy. We're all together and it's so good. And his fucking COVID comes back.
He fucking relapsed.
Because.
Did he do the thing, Paxi?
Yeah. Is that your experience too, that everyone you know who's been on Paxlovid has a recurrence?
It sounds like it's like one of the most common possibility. It's like, I don't know, 50, I don't know the numbers, but like you hear, like it happened to President Joe Biden, the same thing.
Oh, really?
But so many people, I don't know. A lot of people I know didn't ever take it because it was just like, didn't really need it. I'll just get through the sickness, you know?
Yeah.
And the good part about that is when you finally do, you are gone. But for some reason, if you take Paxlovid, it might come back 2 weeks later or a week later.
It's really, really very quite strange. So
are you guys just isolating at home now?
No, I psychically was getting like, that's not going to go well for me. And I got to do stuff.
Uh-huh.
And so we had a bunch of talks. I basically contacted everyone I've ever slept on their couch or in their guest room. And everybody has a guest, has a family member, has a
fuck.
Somebody. I had two friends, two people say to me, my friend who is dying of cancer is in our guest room.
Wow.
I started to be like, I guess, I mean, first of all, what? Secondly, Jesus. Then even Kat Zidane, my good girlfriend, you know, who lives 4 minutes from here in Emeryville, is out of town for 2 months with her dog. So her house is empty. I was like, sweet, problem solved. Called her, asked her, and she was like, shit, our friend has our keys and she's out of town for 4 days. And I'm like, kill everyone. Then Danielle Levin, another friend of ours.
With her awesome new house.
With her amazing new place that I've been to a bunch that I love and am obsessed with. And I could take Squeezel with me there. She had offered before. It's complicated, but she basically was like, hold on, my thing stopped recording. She had offered before. I texted her, hey, can we take you up on that offer? She was like, no, I just put another friend in there because you didn't need it because he got over COVID. She thought I was going to stay there when I was
coming. Yeah.
And I was like, no problem. So long story long, Eric is in a hotel 2 blocks from here. Huh. And yesterday I walked Squeezle over to his hotel and we all had a sad little walk at night with him with a mask on.
God damn. Ugh.
Yeah.
That's rough.
Yeah.
I attended a cat memorial this weekend.
Oh, no. Who's cat?
Yeah. So Denise and Joe, is that his name? Denise's partner, Joe. What do we call him?
Oh, I saw this. I saw that post. I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yeah, they had to put their... I mean, the merciful part is cat got sick and, you know, within a few weeks, they were like, oh, he's, I hate to use this term, but riddled with cancer.
My God.
So it was like, well, the merciful part is like, we're not, there's no struggle to make a choice about what's going on. It was like, just make the painful choice right now. And, you know, and they had like a home person come in, like just kind of like hospice, you know, like it's really a lovely service. They come to your house and they like, you get to hold your, as you go. I wasn't there.
You weren't?
I couldn't be there for that part. I was working, but the Supreme Chancellor was able to be there as well. I think that's their name, the Supreme Chancellor. I think that's what we call them.
Yeah, I think that's right.
And yeah, they did a whole thing. And then, you know, it came over after work and we spent sort of the weekend. But it was like intense. It was like a...
No, yeah, for real. Sure.
A smaller version of what you went through, but still significant for them. Like it was...
Oh, yeah, come on. I mean, it's terrible.
Yeah, I was like, I only had a pet when I was a kid. And I was away for the summer when they had to put her down.
Hmm.
And I don't have an emotional experience of that, of losing the pet, or a memory of it. I don't have an emotional memory. Like, I can't track that feeling.
Yeah.
Even though I know I cared about that dog deeply.
Right. You know, it's funny. I'm laughing because I'm thinking about our joke that we have, our running joke that, like, you had this idyllic, you know, childhood where people nurtured you and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about, so I hear that story and I'm like, of course that's how that went for you. My version.
He never lost a pet.
Well, my version was like my childhood dog who was like the only saving grace.
Right. For other people, it's like the thing that kept me alive was my dog. And when he was gone.
Neither parent could handle putting him down. So they made me do it.
Oh, this is true for you. This is your story.
Yes. So I took my... I took the dog to the vet and I was in the room and I don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
No, I do. I'm just laughing because I'm like, of course,
another version of that. Mine was...
Your experience is like, I don't know, there was a death maybe, but we were so loved.
I was away at summer camp or something.
And, I was having fun. It was childhood. Who cares?
God.
Yeah. And funny that you say that because it came up. We were, you know, we've been talking about hard things with my dad and my sister. And I don't know, at some point, my dad turned to me and said, yeah, whatever happened to the Snook? And I went, you don't remember? And he was like, no, what happened? And I was like, you made me take him and have him put down.
How old were you?
I could drive. So I was probably 16, maybe 15. Yeah, it wasn't great. I mean, I might have also, to be fair, I might have been so tough and strong too that I was like, I'll do it. Yeah, totally.
I mean, I got this. I'm fine.
I can handle it.
I have lots of armor.
Yes. Anyway, so what's happening that's going well? Let's do positivity stuff.
The show closed that I was understudying. I never had to go on. Yeah. Hallelujah. And it finished yesterday.
Good for you.
Thank God. That's a load off.
That's great.
And now I'm, you know, so that's nice. And it went really well for them. It's like their best-selling show for a long time, which is really happy.
Weird.
Our friend Josh, who runs that theater company, I'm sure that's good for him.
Why was that a best-selling show? It was like a kill me show.
Weirdest holiday show ever. Let's do 1984, which does not have a happy ending. It is a dark.
But I guess like Berkeley audiences are like smart people who want to be challenged? ?
Maybe. But it just...
That's a...
Was well done enough and intriguing enough that people said, yes, this was really good. So regardless of content, go see it.
Rock on. God, it's so weird. You never can tell, can you? I would have said like, this is not going to go well for them.
Exactly. Like, wow, there's some planning. That was a programming choice you made.
Yeah, but hey.
But it worked. It went really well for them. They sold out a bunch of the run and people were.
It's great.
Happy about it. And
yeah. Okay, so that's a good thing.
I'm only tangentially connected to it, but it is a good thing. And the fact that it's over is a good thing for me.
Did you get health insurance through that job?
1 week.
No. Oh, God. Stupid.
I guess that's the only full contract week.
But they paid you.
They paid me a holding fee, which is not that great for like the weeks that I'm on hold. And if I'd gone on, I would have gotten paid a chunk. It's not my favorite arrangement. And they actually did more than they were contractually obligated to do through equity. So my complaint is a little more with like, really, this is the agreement you allowed to be in place.
Yeah.
My union.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm definitely, what was my lesson? Like, why did all the guides go, yeah, you should do this? Everybody, I didn't ask you. But I
was going to say, I don't remember that.
But everybody else I talked to, gut check, and even like sort of spirit check was like, yeah. And people who normally would have said, don't do this.
I know. You told me that.
Rami. Yeah.
Yeah.
Myself.
Maybe it was the kind of thing where doing it was enough of a, like it kept your mind busy enough that you couldn't be thinking about why do I not have another acting job right now?
Maybe. Or maybe it was, do this and never do it again.
Learn the lesson.
Learn the, like, let's lock this lesson in heart. And I think for me, the lesson, I mean, to be perfectly transparent, it's like, I'm not going to take another understudy gig unless it's like Berkeley Rep or ACT and they're paying me $1,000 a week and I'm there the whole time anyway. And it's a good gig.
Yeah.
But not, I'm not going to half-ass any, I'm not going to take any more pity gigs.
Mm-mm. Nah. Good for you.
Yeah.
Yes. Maybe that is the whole thing. That's enough of a reason to do it, to be like, nope, I don't do that.
Yep.
Yeah. That seems right.
Yep. So that's me.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Let's do good things on this end. Oh, what? Here's a great one.
I love it.
Since August, when I moved back to California, Eric and I have been hunting for, wait for it, the right couch.
Yeah, that's a thing.
It's a real thing. Because it can't be too big and it can't be too small and it's got to be comfortable, but it always has to match the things and it can't be too this. It just blah, 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 stains, color, design. We found the right couch and it arrived while we were gone, which is great because now the new amazing couch is here and it fits perfectly in with the design and it kind of pulls the whole room together. And his living room is, I must say, pat on my own back, never looked better. It looks fucking schwank in there. And we need to have you over for drinks and food. Because
I'm going to wait at least a week because there's a guy with COVID.
He's not here.
Oh, then I should just come on over.
Anyway, yeah. So that's fun. We have a couch that we like. It's both sexy and comfortable.
Mm.
Miracles are real. Squeezle is healthy. It's been nice weather here. What else we got? Thank God we can afford for him to be in a hotel.
Yeah.
That's.
Yeah. There's all kinds of little graces and privileges that we can be thankful for.
Yeah, exactly. I've been sleeping well.
Oh, that's nice.
It turns out I had strep throat.
Oh, that's nice.
In Salt Lake City and then in Albuquerque, which is now gone. That's good. We like that.
Oh, so you got sick before you even arrived in Albuquerque.
Yeah, on the drive there, I was sick. And then it got way worse in Albuquerque.
And then your dad got COVID, but you didn't.
Right. And Eric got COVID and I didn't. And it makes no sense.
It's a little bit capricious.
It makes no sense at all. Like,
I didn't get COVID on a fucking cruise. I went to like Huffy Sweaty Dance Club twice while I was on that cruise.
When was this? What cruise?
You know what the cruise I went on? The three-day Mexico booze cruise?
What are you talking about? When?
Wait, what?
When?
Okay. October, November, beginning of November with Feet First.
Oh, I did not know this.
Oh my God. Okay.
Tell me all the things.
That was fun. That's a sweet thing. So there's a thing I never would have done on my own. Never would have gone on a cruise. Probably will never again. But every like 5 years, the whole company, which is like Southern California, Northern California, New York, all the different branches of Feet First.
Yeah.
They like underwrite us going on this cruise. We pay a little bit of it, but they pay most of it.
Yeah.
And it's this, you know, the 3-day Ensenada booze cruise where you get on Friday afternoon and then lunch, and then Saturday you're at sea. Sunday they're docked in Ensenada. You can go into the city and da-da-da-da and get back on. And then Monday morning you're back at port and you're getting off the boat.
Right.
And in between you're going to...
Hammered. Just hammered.
Carry, if so. But you got to pay a lot extra to drink a lot. So I didn't
drink. Really?
I'm not drinking much anyway, so it's kind of perfect.
Yeah.
I just drank a lot of the free iced tea and lemonade.
Great.
Yeah, there's like a whole thing where like your food is totally paid for in the basic package that you've paid for, which isn't much. But then if you want to drink, you can get a, like a, all you, quote, all you can eat, not all you can drink. Mm-hmm. Not really. It's like 15 drinks a day, which is too much.
Wow.
For like some chunk of money. I didn't get that ticket. You'd have to pay extra for that for yourself. And only a few of our people did, and they used it.
I bet they did.
But I ate a lot, drank only a little. A couple people bought me drinks and I had a little bit of da-da-da-da. But karaoke, super fun, ridiculous.
So fun.
And the fact is, like, we were there with like 50 people.
Oof.
And we are like cruise directors on land. That's what we do.
Yeah.
So we kind of brought the party wherever we were.
Oh,
in a way
that's
that, like,
so fun.
As our buddy Brendan said, it was like, okay, because they've gone several times. Like, I couldn't go the last 5 years because I was in a show. And it's like, for the first 2 days, oh my God, they're learning who you are. They love you. Everyone knows you, knows who we are on the boat. Oh, you're those guys from that thing. Oh, we love you. Oh my God. Are you going to karaoke tonight? And then by the end of day three, they're fucking done with us because it's like, that's us. We're always the guys, you know, we're half the karaoke list. We're, you know, at the dance party, we're the ones getting people out on the dance floor, you know, at the whoopty whoop. So, which is fun until you're tired of us.
Sure.
And that's also totally a thing.
It sounds like theater people in general.
Exactly. So yeah, I danced, you know, I had to do a couple of things to like enjoy myself. I had to let go of, you know, my absolute disdain of American consumerism.
Okay.
You know, I just had to like shut down that part of my soul. You know what I mean? Because I just had to be like, just go and do it. Just have a good time. And I did.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not going to care about that.
Wait. I have a question. American consumerism, you know, is cruising feels like consumerism more than...
Well, it is one of the most environmentally destructive things.
Oh, I get it. Okay.
It's awful.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I mean, it's the equivalent of Disneyland. It's just like, you know, lights and people and things and, you know.
I see.
They didn't see me. I was double fisting. I was giving myself a bukkake party. It was like figurative.
Wait, so couldn't we say.
Consumer bukkake.
It's less consumer and more debauchery.
Debauchery, but.
And stupidity.
But it's a consumerist debauchery. It's
okay.
Uses things in a way that is kind of gross and, you know, and it's all plastic and all everything. And it just, you know, and cruises just like dump fuel in the water and the ocean. It's not good.
Not good.
So I had to shut that part of my body down.
Just kill a little bit of your
just
soul.
Just kill a little bit of my soul.
Fine.
And I also had to be like, well, I'm getting COVID. Like that's, I just made that decision at the beginning that it was entirely possible I would get COVID.
Okay.
Because I just wasn't going to sit there and wear a mask the whole time I was on a cruise. I just couldn't do it.
No.
So I just decided, well, when I get back, maybe I'll have COVID and I'll isolate for a week. That didn't happen. Nobody did.
That's miraculous.
Miraculous. Because they weren't doing any kind of screening or testing or like, hey, don't come on this trip. If you know, like test the day before you get on the boat. They didn't ask for that.
Yeah.
And there was, you know, I don't know, thousands of people on that boat. It was fucking huge. It was one of those gigantic, full princess cruises.
See, why did you not get COVID, but Eric like stayed in one house with me and four other people and did?
Yep, exactly.
Weird. Isn't it weird?
Yeah. I mean, I was in sweaty dance club with low ceilings. I breathed everybody's saliva in that room.
I don't know. I'm going to make a hard left turn real quick because our guest is going to come on in a second and this thought is coming to me and I'm sorry that it's fully unrelated to what you just said. I just want to say this. Remember we talked about briefly about I got educated about Israel-Palestine?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I just want to say this because somehow I feel like it might become relevant in our conversation today. I don't know how or why. I have a friend who is a Jew who lives in Israel right now, who said words to me. We've been back and forthing and she's been like, what's your perspective? Because I want to know, as somebody inside of it, what are like American friends of mine thinking is going on? And I was like, fuck if I know, but I got a little educated by listening to this podcast. And I sent her the episodes and she listened and she was like, well, they missed this, this, and this point. And what's hard for me to understand is this, this, and this, and does people not know about this, this, and this from a very Jewish pro-Israel perspective. The very next day I had a client on a Zoom session. Sorry, I keep turning my heater on and off because it's cold and then hot and I'm confused. I had a client come on who said to me, I'm not kidding, like uncannily, almost word for word, the same exact arguments. Well, hasn't people thought about this and nobody gets this and nobody's thinking about this and why can't they think about this? From the Palestinian perspective.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, okay, one of these people is like a very good friend of mine and one is a client who I care about very much in that client way that you care about people.
Yeah.
So with the client, and I see our guest is here and I'll let them in a second, I was able to make the point of like, hey, so I just talked to a really good friend of mine who said literally what you're saying to me from the opposite side. You know, let's look at what we have control over here, which is your reactions. So what is this bringing up? And let's do your work about you, right? Inside her reactions to the client is having a lot of feelings of like, how shall I say, like cutting people out of their life because they're not, you know, very sort of aggressive, almost like compulsive, save the world. Mm-hmm. Pro-Palestine, every march, everything. And in a way that's like, it reads energetically quite clearly to me, like, this is about your trauma. This is like, yes, go to the marches you want to go to, but what's under that, you know?
Yeah.
But to my friend, so then I came back to my friend and I was like, well, I had a weird experience. And I told her, like, you said these words and then she said those words. And she was like, yeah, man, that's what's hard for us over here watching what's going on in America and how backwards everybody has the narrative, because it's really being like funneled through a very specific set of whatevers. And it just really got me more present to the realness of the challenge of the media right now and like where to get information that is reliable and what is, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'll just wrap up with this. God, this is like a whole other topic, but I heard Rachel Maddow interviewed Liz Cheney this past week.
Right.
Dick Cheney's daughter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who was like ousted from the Republican Party because she.
Right. Because she was critical of Trump.
And she's like, Rachel gives this whole talk about like, we could not be more divergent, she and I, but we're putting all of that aside today to talk about that we agree that this thing can't happen in 2024 where this fascist comes back into power. Because as Liz Cheney said it, this may be the last set of elections we ever have if he is in power.
Right.
So it's all like, there's a way that I'm like, oh boy, those of us on the spiritual end of things and the creative end of things, it's feeling less and less okay to me to not like have these conversations, like to stay fully out of it. It's we might be losing democracy.
Right.
It's a big fat fucking deal.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I felt like just I had to bring that back in because we sort of started to talk about it. And if it doesn't come up in our conversation today, I really want to talk about it more next episode.
Okay.
Because I have some perspectives about the link between spirit and politics and how we can actually bring them together. Because I think we have to.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up? It's Rami. It was such a relief to change the clocks back. And by changing the clocks back, I mean that the vast majority of clocks change themselves. But, you know, it was such a relief to spring forward, fall back into standard time. Now, of course, when you hear this, it's probably going to be weeks and weeks after that's happened. But one of the reasons why it was a relief is because I'm an early riser and I'm currently in Kentucky, which is on the western side of this time zone. So the sun was just taking even longer to come up, you know, than if it did if I was in New York at home on the eastern side of the time zone. think about that. But yeah, yeah. Okay. So what I was going to say is that it's like, we all agree to do this. And by agree to do this, I mean like the people in charge of organizing us into a society tell us to do it and we agree to do it, you know? But it's just like a little nod to the fact that time is actually just a construct, right? Because we're like, oh yeah, we'll just change Rami's rules.
And here's Leah coming onto the podcast right now. Hello.
Hello.
How's it going?
I was literally just singing Beauty and the Beast.
That sounds right.
I'm sorry we interrupted you. Want to just continue?
No, I forgive you. I'm a great person. So
Go ahead.
No, I'm sad that we interrupted you because we wanted to hear it.
For real?
Why not?
I was singing, what was I saying? When he was me, then he was crossing on the river, but now he's here, and so I'm sure. I wonder why I didn't see it there before.
I love it. The only reason I asked for that is in getting to, you know, in previewing who you are, we were both probably on your Insta and on your different stuff that were sent to us. So I was like, your Unchained Melody just destroyed me.
Oh,
destroyed me. I loved your voice. I loved how you put the sound into that.
Oh, thank you.
Y'all should go to the, I'm just going to interrupt real quick. Say your name all the way out for us.
I know it was coming.
Ilia Isorelis Paulino. Oh, Ilia. I was saying it wrong. Okay, great.
Yeah, the I sometimes looks like an L.
It does look like an L. I was doing like a double, like an Ege, like Ilia, you know?
Yeah. I'm like, no, it's
Ilia. Ilia. And what kind, tell us, what is the origin of this name?
My family's Dominican, and so it's a Spanish name. But also, when I was born, Papi was choosing through like three biblical names. And I guess Ilia is like the female version of Elijah, which is in Spanish, it's Elias.
Ah.
Interesting. Okay. Well, that's a lovely transition into the question I usually start people with. First of all, we need to tell our audience just like, we are just learning about you in these last couple of days because we're old and we're out of touch with reality. But also, everybody needs to look at Ilia's everything, please.
Oh, thank you, baby.
Yes, of course. IMDb her, go to her Insta, and she's going to be huge and famous in 5 seconds. You're like Netflixing and writing and acting and all over the fucking place. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you, baby.
Yes, it's a big deal. But, and so it's like, and we're artists and we're spiritualists here and we're comedians and all that. So, like, you, I don't know, speaking of biblical names, I go, sounds like maybe there was some kind of spirituality or religion in the childhood.
I'm a PK. My daddy's a pastor.
Preacher's kid, pastor's kid.
So if you know, you know. And
wow,
and
that's a big deal.
Yeah. And my former, I grew up in a religious cult.
Ah!
Yeah. Yeah. And then.
Which one?
It's one that comes from the Dominican Republic, like they call it like Raja Tabla on the island, which is like board breaker. But it was just very, very conservative Pentecostal.
Yeah.
And we eventually found a more moderate church, moderate by comparison.
Okay.
It's all relative.
Exactly. But yeah, no, my formative, like when everyone was like partying up for like the new millennium, me and my family were like in a huddle where we had gone to Walmart that day because we were convinced that we were going to lose outage because I guess the apocalypse was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And we are like just all huddling and my dad's like speaking in tongues. And then midnight came and then 1 a.m. came and then 2 a.m. came. And then I had to go to school. So that was unfortunate.
Had you not done your homework because the apocalypse
was
going to come?
That's why it's unfortunate because I didn't do the homework. And apparently the excuse I thought the second coming of Jesus wasn't good enough.
Oh, damn it. Damn
it. I know. Did you just hate when that happened?
You tried.
I really did.
Wow. Yeah, I hear that. I happen to be a really big cult, like ex-cult members documentary watcher, like name one and I've seen it like three times. Do you watch any of them? Does it do anything for you?
No, I, it's funny you said that because I also want to get into like the unscripted space. I think like the older that I get, the more I just consider myself like artist period, and like whatever medium it comes out, like the story will tell me what medium it wants to be. So one of the stories was like, I was really coming to terms with, like I thought I had like dealt with everything, and turns out that I didn't, that I still have this like very deep seated fear of the world because I was taught to fear it. But then I'm an artist, so I also have this overwhelming need to experience it. And I was just like, oh my God, what does that look like in an unscripted show format? So like, I'm starting to just now like look at that kind of stuff. Cause also for a long while, I didn't even call it a cult. It wasn't until I was much older where I was telling like as jokes to one of my friends, and she was like, girl, I think he was in a cult. I was like, no, bitch, you crazy. And then that night, I like Googled it. I was like, for funsies, let me just see, like, signs you're in a cult. And I saw this like 12 thing article, and I could check off every single one.
Yeah, for sure. Wait, so when you say unscripted, do you mean like reality TV-ish?
Not reality, more like live in investigative work, and because I'm not
like documentary, but not,
yes, but not like I'm still very early, and I'm trying to discover like what it looks like when I tell this story.
Yeah,
using the tools that I have, which is I'm a storyteller, I'm an actress, I'm saying whatever.
Yeah,
and you know, a bitch is funny. So I'm like trying to also find where the humor is there without, you know, making it a reductive story or.
Right.
Yeah. Cause I think the story is more about like, it's less about the cult and more about like fear of world, I think.
Do you have access to any other ex or current?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Participants, you know, having conversations with them.
Yeah. I mean,
what specific ways, what kind of fear of world did they instill?
I think, of course, I can only talk from my point of view, but I think like they teach this narrative that we are not of this world. Like we're just waiting for that fateful day. Either you passed away and you get there, or you know, you make it long enough for the apocalypse to come and the Lord will take you home. Hallelujah. And that type of fear of like, oh, we are not from this place. This place might be shiny and glittery, but at its core is not one of us and will set out to hurt you, is a very specific fear, because it I didn't realize until I was in consistent therapy just how much of like the frozenness of it all, like, because you're caught between like a flight or fight, because like it takes away your agency to deal with the world.
Of course, that makes total sense.
Yeah, because the issue is at its core. Like, how do you solve that, or how do you argue that? You know, like,
it almost sounds like the world is a temporary trial to be survived until you can get to this next thing.
Yes, because part of the rhetoric is that they're like, and it will test you, like it will look nice, it will make you feel good, it's testing you, it's like the level. It's the reason I have a really good sense of when I like play villains or something, because it's that level of gaslightingness that is horrendous, because it really leaves you
fully disempowered.
Yes. And the craziest part is like, and you know, I'm not victim blaming, but the they're so good at it, because at the end of the day, like these mental, what's it called? Shackles, they're not physical, like they're mental. So you have to put them on yourself.
Yeah, I get that.
Like you have to put them on and then you have to lock it yourself. So the level of gaslighting has to be so good,
mm-hmm,
that you do it, because that's the only way. because it's talking about the mind.
I was raised with a pretty toxic, terrible person in charge of stuff. And
amazing. Not amazing. Sorry.
No, I hear you. I know what you mean. Like, I've spent my life disentangling from the claws of narcissism and sociopathy. And that's why I'm so into the documentaries. Like, I have one. I got to recommend one for you, both of you, if you haven't seen it already. It's called Love Has Won.
It's about mother love?
Mother God.
Mother God, right. That's her name.
Mother God. I love mother-daughter story. One of my dream roles is Medea. Mm-hmm. From a Greek tragedy where spoiler alert, she has kids with her, the love of her life, Jason, but then she like commits matricide with them because he like deserts her. Fun. And I am obsessed with that story because like you cannot believe that she did not love her children. Like if she didn't love her children, her killing them means nothing. Mm-hmm. It's like me killing a fly, right? But like she hated him so much
that she would kill her children.
Yes. And that level of humanity, because like it or not, that is still humanity. I think people think like humanity and they all think like roses. I was like, no, we have a spectrum of what we do. And we don't acknowledge it. That's how we enact violence.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. No, Medea is like the dream role for every young actress.
Gotta right? play it at some point.
You gotta play Medea.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
We got polar.
Yeah, in repertoire. Same night, baby. Same night.
Same show.
So are you in LA?
I am.
Okay, and how do you know Sophia?
Sophia, I love that bitch. we became friends through a third mutual friend. Actually, he was on this podcast.
Logan.
Me and Logan are best friends. We went to Yale together.
Okay, that's it.
We have a production company now, and he's one of.
You're the friend that he talked about, probably.
Yes, I am her. I always say that I'm stuck at picking boyfriends, but damn, can I pick a partner? And
that's cool.
Yeah, and yeah, so he's like a collaborative partner of mine, and we're actually gonna get lunch like right after this.
I talked to him after the podcast and I owe him a follow-up email. I'm obsessed with bringing him out to do something out here because I loved working with Logan. I like talking with him too. He's got such a great brain.
That's when I first met him. It was it was the orientation at Yale. It was the first day, and in comes this dude. I'm very good at reading energy because of my trauma, mm-hmm. And so this guy walks in.
Oh, we know. Yeah.
He walks in with this cool ass fucking jacket and with his like nice cute buttons. And I'm just like, that is a fucking weirdo. And the way he introduced himself, I was like, and he's smart. And so I like came up to him and I literally go, hi. He's like, hello. And I'm like, we're friends now. And he's like, okay. And I literally stamped him like I went like this with his chest. And I was like, you've been stamped. Let's go get lunch. And we've been best friends ever.
That's delightful. Okay. Yes. Good. Now that I know the connection, that makes total sense. I'm going to come back to spirituality now. So
yeah.
I get where you're coming from. And I get that you're creating a lot of art in the present tense. Yeah. What is your relationship to, like, if I say, what does spirituality mean to you, but not the stuff of your childhood or your past? Yeah. What does it mean to you now?
I mean,
if anything,
I am, it means a lot. I, for a while, it was such a sticky thing because of where I grew up that I, looking back now, I think I pushed it into my unconscious. Like I was like, there's so much that I need to fucking grapple with, you know, that aren't like the regular parts of life, what the fuck that means, like boys and these fucking like body image and wanting to be a star and like all these things. And I think my body just didn't let me even touch it. And it's not until recently that I'm like, okay, what is this spirit? What does it mean to me? Because I'm a deeply, deeply spiritual person. And I know it because of how I approach my art. It's like, I was actually talking to one of my friends a couple months ago. And I was just like, I don't know. I was like opening up to him about like my upbringing in the church. And so I like confided to him and I was like, I don't know what my relationship is to God or to spiritually, and that terrifies me. And I don't know if there's a part of me that's just not connected or doesn't believe or whatever, whatever, whatever. And he looked at me and he's like, you have a direct lineage to that, or like a direct like line to that. He's like, and I know that. And he pulled up one of my covers that I sang online, and I sang His Eyes on the Sparrow. And he's like, I'm not lying when I say that, like, when I'm sad, I listen to this. Like, and you know, when someone says something, it just rings true. And you're just like, ding. I was like, yes, yes. And I was like, okay, thank you. Yeah, it's true. And it's going to sound a little bit juju, but I swear to God, like, there are, when I'm acting and some moments more than others, but like, I get into this, like, canal, and I don't know what's pouring in, what's on top, if it's God, if it's spirit, if it's energy, I don't know. But then I empty out and the energy comes in, and then I connect with the audience, whether that's through the camera or the people that are there, and we're sharing communion. And that's where my artist lives, no matter what I'm doing, whether if I'm baking or singing or writing or having a conversation.
Yeah. How does it help you? That makes total sense. How does it help you with sanity?
You know, that's a great question, because I have a fear of going crazy.
Uh-huh.
But I find that it's that's a story. That's I don't actually believe I'm going to go crazy. It just I know that it feels like that, because it's so everything and anything. But I'm afraid that I go crazy. And then you keep on going down the barrel. Like, okay, why do I feel like I'm going crazy? Oh, it's just the fear of being too much. It's a fear of, you know, whatever your specific barrel is. But as soon as I get deep enough into like the reality of what's going on, that fear of going insane kind of vanishes.
Where did that start? Do you remember the first time you felt that way?
When I was older, I mean, because when I was younger, I mean, it's funny, the joke earlier about, you know, I think my trauma afforded me a lot of intuitive skills.
Sure.
And that is true.
For everybody with trauma. So you're in good company. I'm a trauma survivor who's an energy healer, who's an actor. So you're not alone. We get you.
110%. And I think that's what happens, right? I think it's like, it's just like perfect storms happen. And on that way, it's science. It's 2 + 2. It's like, I was born with a particular... I was preset to be empathetic already.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I like mommy tells me story that like, even as a baby, I'd be a big watcher. And then so that paired with growing up in a religious cult, it's just the perfect storm that ended up being.
Yeah.
Right. And so like,
So do you remember maybe when it first felt like, I might crack, or I might lose it, or I might go crazy?
Yes. Yes. It wasn't until I was later. I think that's the point I'm trying to put into words, is that when I was young, I didn't really, I was just so ready to accept it. I'm like, it makes sense, because I don't know anything else. And it just makes sense. Like, it's just like, ding, yes, got it. And it wasn't until later when I left the church, when I was still doing this thing that I love, which is my art. And I was experiencing things like in the church, also part of the teachings is that they say you'll never be able to find this feeling anywhere else. Mm. Because the thing is also is, I would be, if I was saying that the church was 100% evil or bad, that'd be a lie. Mm-hmm. And yeah. there is such a deep sense of community. Mm-hmm. And the church understands that. And the church understands that we are genetically mm-hmm. made for connection. Mm-hmm. We're like, our parts don't make sense if we're not connecting. And so the church banks on that, because it knows that. And then they say, this is the only place that you'll find this. And then I'll be going to theater rehearsals, and I'm an artist. I consider myself a true artist. And so I'm connecting in a way that like feels very similar. And then on top of that, I'm looking around, and it's with the people that I'm supposed to be most worried of, the sinners. You know what I mean? So it's just like,
sure.
So I think that's where a little bit of like the gaslightiness of that like comes in. you know?
Yeah, of course. Right, right. Of course. Like you're doing, it's almost like your life that you're living is the exact thing they said, don't do any of those things. And you're doing literally all of them.
Yeah. And finding God.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, for sure. Are you in your 20s?
Yes. How old do you think I am? Wait, go.
In your 20s, because your skin is unfucking believable. I'm like, I don't remember having skin that night. Oh my God, stop it. Just don't exist because your skin is a threat to my ego. It is so gorgeous. I love it so much.
Thank you.
Yes, you look like a tiny little baby full of light and love and power.
I look like a fetus. I love looking like a fetus.
But you know what it is? You're a fetus with amazing cheekbones.
Oh, you know, I hated my cheekbones growing up.
Tell us why.
And now I love them because I always wanted to be sexy, not cute. And like everyone would just be like, you're so cute. And I'm like, no, fuck me.
Right. Well, then you got those nails to compensate.
Oh, hell yeah. And you're red. So, you know.
I love that every picture of you on Insta or on IMDb is like, don't mind my nails.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, here I am in this picture like this now.
I've always said it's like, don't take away my totality. Like, depending which version of Ilya they first meet, like, they're always surprised by the next one. Like usually if I had like a very like nice, and I love like intellectual or spiritual conversations like this, they then go and see those photos and they're like, whoa. And I'm like, yes, I have a drag queen inside of me and I love the glitter. And I just, yes.
You know, today I went to Pete's Coffee in the morning. This is just a sidebar.
Nice.
And there was a woman who was probably 6'6".
I love me a tall woman. I'm 6'2".
What?
Yeah, baby. 6'2".
Wow, that's cool. Very tall woman, 6'6". Black woman.
Ah,
large woman.
Gorgeous.
Wearing this yellow patterned, African patterned, something stunning.
Yes, taking up space. Yes.
Big amount of space. Then she had a shawl over the yellow fucking dress that was red. And then her nails. And then there was glitter on the face. She was like a giant in the fucking Pete's Coffee. And so she's ordering and I'm like, I need to validate this person. She doesn't need my validation, but I'm going to fucking do it anyway, because I have this thing about women. Like we need women, this whole thing of somehow when you're empowered or strong or intelligent, you're supposed to be transcendent of giving a shit that you're beautiful or not. And it's like,
yes!
Fuck off, America. Good luck with that.
You.
So anyway, she orders her tea or whatever, and she's walking away and I have my dog and I'm frumpy and it's the morning. And I said, I'm so sorry to bother you. I said, I just want you to know you look fucking amazing today.
Yes.
And she said, thank you.
Yes.
And I said, don't you think we as women need to just say that to each other on the street sometimes? She was like, yes. And she was like towering over me. She goes, yes, I do. And I was like, you have a great day. She was like, you too, honey. And she went away and that was it.
Listen, if I see something, say something. I will always say something.
Exactly.
If I see a cute boy, I will let him know. If I see a cute girl, I will let her know. I was like, I like your glasses. I will let you know. Life is too short. We're on a floating rock.
I know. I walked away from her on the street feeling like I did a little, I'm so happy I'm crying moment. I was like, that's all we all have to do is just say it. Like, how hard is it really to just say to a person, like, you look good right now? And then it made me be like, you know what we should do is I have a friend who, she started a project that was called the I Love You Project. And it was something like, there were shirts and there were bumper stickers and she would just walk up to people and be like, here's your shirt. I love you. You know, and that was the whole thing.
I was talking to a friend the other day about like why we're so, as a society, so scared of loving out loud.
It's so weird.
And like we arrived to the conclusion. I was like, I think it's cool. I think everyone wants to be James Dean. And unfortunately, to love out loud is not
cool.
Cool.
No, it's not.
And I mean that in the best way. I think people care too much about what
totally
how they're being perceived when they're coming from such a genuine place.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And it does you good too. Like you just said, that made you.
It does.
I have this experience where whenever I have really good, it sounds weak, but customer service, where it's like, where I, you know, I don't know, you call the cable company and you get someone who actually helps you in a genuine,
yeah,
helpful way. And then I will almost always like stop everything for a second and really thank them.
Yeah.
And when I really thank them, I fucking cry.
Yes,
like I'm sitting there like, what has happened? Why am I crying? I just said thank you to the cable guy.
Because it's connection. It's the love. That's why I was thinking like, it'd be really cool to have a something where you've got a camera on your person somehow that's not visible. It's embedded somewhere. And you're just walking around giving out compliments just for free on the street.
There's a dude on Instagram who does that. He's phenomenal. And I recommend finding him.
Really?
I think he's British. And he'll literally stand up outside of a store as though he works there. And as people walk by or walk in, he'll go, the strut is on point and your glasses are phenomenal.
Oh, I've seen it. You're right.
And he is, and he's really good. And he can give a compliment to anyone. And it is a deeply observed, beautiful compliment.
And you know what? I hope someone's complimenting him. I just want to put that out there.
He gets it back sometimes. Sometimes it'll loop back on him. Someone will be like, well, your jacket, that crushed velvet, perfect for your skin or whatever.
Good.
Yeah, I want to do it. It seems really good. It just, it's like there's two layers of it that I like. One is the obvious layer of just giving somebody a boost in their day, and who doesn't need that? But also it feels like a very Aquarian counterculture revolutionary act, because it's so fucking weird apparently to just be like, you're good. People are like, what? We're supposed to be cool and shut down. This is one place where there's the paradox of like what the South has going for it that the coastal elites that we don't have going for us is we're so fucking cool. I mean, I lived in the South recently in a bunch of ways and in like not the coasts, which I live on the coast and I love the coast and I'm probably staying forever. But it was good for me to spend time in places where people just on the street are like, hi, good morning. Good to see you. You look lovely. I love your shirt. And I was like, oh, my God, you too. We're best friends now.
Yeah. And they mean it.
They mean it because it's part of the culture. And here, yeah. I came back to California and everybody's too fucking busy and too fucking cool. It bums me out. Because I feel like we're the coolest state except for that shit.
Yeah, it's because we got too cool.
Right.
We got too cool.
It's dumb.
We have to maintain our reputation.
Yes. And it's when you're loving out loud, especially if you're not used to it. So like only do it a couple times in the privacy of your own home with like you and your dog or like you and one right. loved one. Like,
hate it.
You're going to feel like a goober because it's not cool. Like... But it's not supposed to be cool. I don't know.
It's supposed to be connecting. I think the thing of coolness is it's the opposite of connection. It's shutdown. It's distance, right? But connection is...
I mean, it's in the word. Like, we think we value cool, but cool means cold. It means not warm. It means...
Yeah, yeah. So, like, we as a society just are, like, all, like... we just have attachment issues as a society.
Big time. Big time.
Societal, yeah. Attachment issues.
Yeah. Like, as a group, we're a little avoidant, you know?
Big time. Big time.
But we're all just... But, like, a true avoidant, we're all just, like, dying for love and connection.
Yes, of course. We're desperate for it.
Which is why we have problems with sex. I.e. in intimacy.
Well, okay, help us with your generation. What is up with you people not fucking each other?
speak for yourself.
I will.
I am fucking.
Good. Thank God.
Can you talk about your peers?
But you know what I'm talking about how there's all this research about you, like people in their 20s now,
yeah,
that they were raised inside their phones. And so there's a different, like the numbers are low in terms of like,
yeah,
you know, in our generation in the 90s in high school, we were fucking everybody and everything because we couldn't wait to get out of the house and drive the car. And then there's all this research about like, you know, Gen Z folks just like stay at home and don't bone.
Yeah. I will say I go through periods where I stay home and don't bone while having the want to go outside and bone. And so like,
yeah,
that thought process is very interesting to me because I'm like, why? I think me personally, I think, again, I have the backdrop of like religion. And so like, I still have, I still have issues with shame and sex because of the church. And I hate that that's true, but it's true. And so there's that going on. And then there, yeah, I think there's also, I think it's in the culture. I saw this TikTok video. It'll definitely sound like a 20-year-old. But like I was on TikTok and there was this video about how like there are no more third places anymore because,
right,
you know, and so like, yeah.
Yeah, like if you can stay home and order everything to come to you.
Which is what I do. I literally ordered DoorDash.
Why would you go out and risk rejection? You know, that's the theory psychologically, obviously. And if you're raised in the phone and the phone has all the answers, like my sister, who's younger than me, but probably but older than you, she's like between us, but closer to your generation than mine. She is like, we used to openly talk about it with each other and say like, it's too emo and too messy to like get involved with people. So let's just watch more shows.
Yeah.
And it's for us, it's like, you have to get, like, we came up in such a different way. And it's not that fucking long ago either.
Yeah.
Like, phones came in the 90s and we, like, had to deal. But by then we were already boning each other.
It's because for so long, it was like a steady increase. And then all of a sudden, like, the computer came out and then it's like, phew.
Yeah.
And so, like, it really is, like, too different.
Do you know, sorry, sidebar, Cassidy, this human here, you were born in 1995? Okay, do you know what I was doing? Cassidy, let's talk about what we each were doing in 1995. I'll tell you what I was doing. Graduating high school.
Oh, I got your asses beat by 10 years.
Let's go.
I was, I had finished graduate school and had returned. And 2 years later, I would have my first major breakup with the woman I thought I was going to marry.
Yeah, we're all dying. We're dying right in front of you. This is old people dying. That's what you're doing today. You're watching old people die. That's what's happening.
We've got three generations going on here. I mean, Katie, you're not actually, are you Gen X?
Yeah.
Katie?
Yeah.
I am X hardcore. I'm serious. I am X.
X.
I'm sure. All John Hughes movies. Literally.
Yes.
I am. They were made about my graduating class.
Okay, that's fair.
I love those movies. I love those movies.
Pretty in Pink. I'm Ducky, by the way.
That's fair.
John Cryer was my patronum. Patronus, that's what it's called.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I was Ally Sheedy, but wanted to be a Molly Ringwald, for sure.
Ally Sheedy has the same birthday as me, exact same birthday, and I'm obsessed with her.
Is that right? She was hot and weird.
Sorry, what were you about to say, Elia? We got off topic. No, we didn't. We're on topic. We're always on topic. This is the topic.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's just, I was just thinking about it because when you, like this generational thing about like what's happening, you know, I like to look too, it's like when I was in my 20s and like my parents, you know, like just thinking about like people in their 40s, right? When I was a kid or whatever, they were so on another planet and they were so out of touch and they were so weird and far away. And now I'm like, oh, I'm the age now that I thought they were that far out of touch and far away then.
Yeah.
And they were looking at us going like, you guys have to get your shit together because this planet is going to explode. And now I'm sitting in this position going like, oh, I see.
Well, we didn't.
But also B, it's interesting to be looking down at two generations behind you that are younger and going like, oh boy, I'm having middle-aged lady worried about the future of humanity because of the young people, but also feeling like, yeah, but it's very clear the ways they're like 70 million steps ahead of us in other ways. So I don't know what the fuck to think. Cause it's like,
yeah,
it's all fucked, but it's also way better. So,
Yeah.
What do you think about the future of humanity, young person?
Oh, no, I agree with that. I find that like this is so fucking trippy. I swear to God, it's like the more that I learn, the more that I know that I don't know. But also, then the more that I learn, the more that I know. The more that I know that I know everything. Does that make sense?
Yes, totally. I get that. The paradox of it.
Yeah, because I think the deeper you get into your own truth.
Yeah.
Is the closer you get to like the truth. And so along.
Yeah, it's like the thing of like the to know one thing well is to know all things.
Yes. And yes. And the thing in question, I think our only tie to the universe is like ourselves. And so like on the way down, you like learn things about yourself that you think are true, but then you realize that the more work you do, that they're just like layers. And some of the layers are like protective layers, that layers that you don't actually need and don't really hold the amount of truth that you think it does. It was just a layer because it was cold one winter and you didn't want to die.
Exactly. Yes.
So then you like shed off that layer And then you keep on going down. And then I think eventually you reach a place and you're like, oh, I know something. Yeah. And then I think that's pretty much the only thing, not the only thing to do, but because when I start then thinking about like, well, where is it going to go? Then it starts, that's just my anxiety and like my need to control. And you just, that's what you don't know. It's like, you know.
We don't know where anything's going to go.
Yeah. And then I find, it's like acting. It's like if
yeah.
worrying about the finale, I'm not in the scene. And if I'm not in the scene, I'm not having fun. Then why the fuck am I acting?
Yeah, exactly. It's enough of a rat race. You may as well have fun while you're doing it.
Yeah, like that's act two. And you already did all the work. Like we did the rehearsals. You know your line. Bitch, go have fun.
Yeah, that's cool. So, all right. So you're in this Netflix show. Is that running now? Is it, what's the deal? When did you shoot?
They're all running now.
That's how Netflix works. They just start running and then they never stop.
Right.
They just start running. I know. Listen, not that one. Netflix has been bringing me back. I love Netflix.
And you're writing for them as well. What are you writing and acting? No.
So with Logan, we have a production company and we've written a pilot. We've written a feature. We did the short film that played in this like secret local film here in LA that was like a hit. It was like, very exhilarating. We're also doing a web series. So we're more writing. I'm writing independently. And
so the writing is you and Logan, but the acting is Netflix. You and Netflix.
Acting is Netflix. Yeah.
Okay. And so what are the, tell us all the projects you've done with Netflix so that people can go watch you.
Yes. So did Me Time. That's a film with Kevin Hart and Mark Wahlberg.
It looks really funny. I looked at it this morning.
I love them both. They're really good.
How could you know?
They're really good people, which is like,
that's nice.
Really, really like, yeah. And it's great to know that like success didn't corrupt you, because we are all corruptible. We are all corruptible. So Me Time, One Piece, which is a series, and actually
it's like a pirate sort of.
Yes. I played
pirate ship fantasy.
Yes, it's so fucking exciting. Did my own stunts for that. Not all of the stunts, but I did some of them. And it was really exciting. Yeah.
Terrifying. Awesome.
And then I recently, last week, I think, or 2 weeks ago, Family Switch, which is a Christmas movie, like very family, with Jennifer Garner.
What's the one where you're in the uniform with the white girl and the black guy? You're in a uniform. You guys all work together. You work. You're wearing like a...
Oh, that's Sex Life with College Girls.
That's HBO.
Oh, okay. What is it? What's it called?
That's The Sex Lives of College Girls.
Oh.
That's where you're giving a hard time to your coworker the whole time and teasing her and
that's
shit.
That's fun. That one's fun. I like that one.
You're working in like a Starbucks-like situation.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So that we were talking about Netflix and then I took you to HBO land. I got you. Wow. What are you not crushing?
I mean, my love life. No, kidding. I am working on it. I am opening myself to love and I'm putting myself out there, which what more can I do? Nothing. So I'm also kidding.
It can't take long.
Rock on.
Hopefully. I've never been in a relationship and for a long time, I think I was like, you know, I was doing what a lot of people do, which is like telling a lot of stories as to why I'm love won't find me. And a lot of it had to do, you know, I was like, well, I'm not skinny enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not what they want. I used to say, look how silly, or like how silly we get the excuses until we arrive at the truth, which is, bitch, you're emotionally unavailable. You have deep intimacy.
Yes,
issues.
Girl. But anyways, now you're talking.
I used to say that I have a packaging issue. I used to be like, if I was Ilya, and if everything inside of me was the same, but I looked like fucking Gigi Hadid, I would be able to get the man of my dream. Like they would like me back. Girl, you're just scared. It's okay. So yeah.
No, I'm the same. I had so many years of just like toxic dude after toxic dude and like, and then the ones I wanted didn't want me and the ones that wanted me, I didn't want and that whole thing. And I had to, it was very, you're doing great if you're 20, whatever, and figure that one out. Cause I took me a long time to really internalize that. No, actually I was pretty damn fucking unavailable. Like that was so painful for me to look at because the parent figures were so unavailable to me that as a kid, I had decided like, I'll never be that. But what we don't understand is unconsciously you become everything you resist. So I became that hard. And then it just took a long time to be able to go, oh, that one's on me. Is she frozen?
I think you froze. Are you still there?
I think you're frozen.
Oh, wonder how much of that she
heard.
It's
funny because the pose of the-
I know. She didn't even hear that story. She'll be calling back.
Her pose was a listening pose. So I thought she was listening intently.
It was a slightly judgy, but not exactly. It was like a thinking mouth, a little awry, eyes cocked.
She just looked like she was listening.
That was funny. And I looked down and at a certain point, I copped to it while you were still telling the story. I was like, oh, she's not even there. But I didn't want to interrupt you.
It's okay.
Is she back? Oh, how much of that story did you hear? Did you hear that story? It was brilliant and heartbreaking, and we all cried.
Oh, no. I hate it when I miss a good story. You got to go back. You got to go back.
No, it's funny because I was laughing because your face froze in a position that looked like you were listening. It was like, and I was like, oh, wow, she's really listening. That's cool. Then I was like, nah, you're just gone. Well, I was simply just saying, like, I give you a lot of credit for realizing that in the age group you're in, because it's taken me the majority of my life to own that I was the emotionally unavailable one. And that's why I wasn't getting what I wanted. And then becoming emotionally available is incredibly painful. People say like, oh, just choose it. It's like, no, it's fucking hard. That's why you don't choose it, is it hurts.
Yeah.
So it takes a while. So the fact that you get that now, that's big.
It's simple, but it's hard.
Oh, you're going to keep relearning that lesson for the next 20 years. I'm sorry to say, but
got it.
You'll probably get it right pretty soon. But then there will be moments where you're like, remember that thing that I totally learned?
Yeah.
There it is again.
Let me revisit it. Okay.
Yeah. What's also hard is like choosing somebody emotionally available who's nice to you is so weird.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm excited to relearn that lesson over and over again. Because at the end, when I finally learn it, it's such a feeling of like, it's like when you take off your bra at the end of the day. You're like, ah, oh, of course, let's go get candy. You know what I mean?
It's kind of true. It's kind of true.
Yeah. So I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, listen, one of the things we do here is we have people like yourself who are fabulous on, and we ask them stuff about themselves. And then I don't know if you know anything about, do you know anything about what we do here?
No.
Okay. So, all right, I'm what's called an energy healer and an Akashic Records reader. So I get into the Akashic Records of the client if they want, or the guest in this case.
Oh, yes, please. Let's do it.
Okay. So what we could do is when I open your records, you can ask whatever you'd like to ask, like anything you're wondering about. And just a heads up that sometimes, you know, the universe's response to a question is healing work, you know, so sometimes light will come through and we'll do a little healing here. But sometimes not. Sometimes it's words. We'll have to see. So if that sounds like that sounds okay to you?
Yes, yes, yeah.
Okay, great. What I'd like to do is pee.
Go and take, pee, bitch. Go pee.
Take 3 minutes and we'll come back and we'll do that.
Amazing.
All right.
If you need a bio break, this is the time, but it's just going to be a couple minutes. Otherwise, you and I can just chat and it probably won't go on the podcast. Go.
Okay. Whatever you guys want.
We're going to talk about Katie. What is with that bitch?
Good thing she's gone.
Good thing she's gone. I thought she'd never leave.
I hope this never ends up online.
This is still being recorded, but we'll never keep it. No, we love.
All right. Had a pee and a snack, everybody.
Amazing. A little twofer. We love that.
All right. So, Ilya, all I need is your full legal name, the name on your driver's license.
On my driver's license, it's just first and last name. But Ilya.
I know.
L-I-A, Paulino.
Paulino. Sí, sí. I'm from Miami and I speak Spanish, so.
Ay, qué bien.
Sí, sí. Debemos.
¿Tú eres pana?
Hablar solamente en español porque... Necesito practicar siempre, por siempre.
¿Tú eres hispana?
No, soy de Miami. Nací en Miami con los cubanos y por eso puedo hablar, pero no es perfecto el español.
I got you.
Okay. Okay, so, and it's 2:22. Okay, so we're gonna, I'm gonna take you through a short meditation. We're all gonna have our eyes closed. You're just gonna breathe and relax. You're gonna hear me at a certain point say your name inside of the Akashic Records prayer. Once I've gotten into your records, I'll let you know that I'm in there. What are the Akashic Records, you ask? Great question. They are a realm of consciousness, a high frequency realm of divine light where all answers are available from the realm and the perspective of consciousness itself or the divine's voice. So we're sort of entering a realm or a state together where I'm connecting with your soul and its alignment with source consciousness. And from that place, I'm not giving you answers or guidance or whatever from my own perspective per se, except for when they have me do that. It's all coming through, theoretically, the higher frequencies of conscious awareness. So I've been to 3 energy healing schools, 4 years long, each one, and I do this all day with clients. So you're in hopefully good hands if I'm doing an okay job at this.
I feel good energy.
Good. That's good. Okay, cool. All right. And I'm just needing, sorry, you guys, I have to plug, my phone is dying and I don't want to lose your Ilia Paulino name, but my plugs are all taken. Please hold. This guy, no, we can't do it. Okay. All right. So we'll close our eyes and we'll just start to really relax our bodies into, by the way, nothing I do here can harm you. I can't bring any dark energies through. I can only serve the light. The light only, brings up or processes anything that's already there. So I'm not putting anything into you. I'm just opening both of our connection to source. And also I am not the arbiter of what anybody should do in their life. I'm just a lady channeling light. So like, please throw all of this out the window if it doesn't resonate. Personal empowerment above all else. That being said, we'll close our eyes and take a few deep breaths into the low belly. Slowing and deepening the breath as we connect, as you said, deeper and deeper down within ourselves to the seat of the self at the pelvic floor. Inhaling into the low belly and the pelvic floor. And exhaling from the low belly and the pelvic floor. Allowing the shoulders to soften and drop just a little bit. Allowing the back muscles to release. Noticing any places of tension, tightness, or holding in the body, and just choosing to let them go. Any fist clenching, jaw clenching, leg muscles tightening, we just become aware of them and drop it. We're gonna feel into the bottoms of our feet now, becoming aware of the bottom of each toe. The balls of the feet, the heels of the feet, the arches of the feet. And as we breathe low and slow in the belly, we're going to visualize now little spinning foot chakras spinning open at the bottom center of each foot, like a little tornado of light that spins wider and wider at the bottom center of each foot. And we're going to watch those little tornadoes or those vortexes of light, vortices, expand wider and wider until there's nothing left of them. And until the bottom, the surface area of the bottom of each foot is just an open plane of energy, like an open window. And we'll just acknowledge that the opening of these foot chakras, these windows, just allows the electromagnetic field of your body to communicate more directly with the electromagnetic field of the earth below you. We're just communicating with the planet and with the higher frequencies of what we actually already are. We're gonna watch in our mind's eye now as 500 tree roots of light begin to anchor through our bodies, down through the open window of each foot, extending hundreds of miles down into the earth. So 500 tree roots anchor through the open window of the left foot down and into the earth, hundreds of miles. And 500 tree roots of divine light anchoring through the open window of the right foot, hundreds of miles down into the earth. And as you watch those roots in your mind's eye, 1,000 roots in total, just rooting you to the here and now. We'll just take some more deep breaths into the low belly. And we're going to visualize lastly, everything from your feet to your head, becoming a tree of conscious light. There's no dogma here with a tree. There's just conscious awareness. There's just presence and connection to everything else. And we'll watch this tree that we each are, each one of us hearing these words now, becomes a tree of light. And we'll watch the trunk of that tree begin to expand left and right, forward and back and upwards into the heavens. The deeper our roots grow into the earth, the wider the tree trunk becomes and the taller it extends into the heavens. And we know that at the top of this tree, there are hundreds of thousands of branches growing. We can't possibly see them, but we know they're there because it's so high up. Millions of leaves sprout off these branches, and we are an abundant, anchored, rooted, grounded, open receptacle, open vehicle of light, able now to receive divine transmission and just divine awareness, all for our highest good and for our integrated best good. And from here, we do acknowledge the forces of light, asking for guidance, direction, and courage to know the truth as it is revealed for our highest good and the highest good of everyone connected to us. Holy Spirit of divine light, protect me, please, from all forms of self-centeredness and direct my attention to the work at hand. Help me to know Ilia Paulino in the light of the Akashic Records. Help me to see Ilia Paulino through the eyes of the Lords of the Records. And enable me, please, to share the wisdom and compassion that the masters, teachers, and loved ones of Ilia Paulino have for her. And I'm going to go quiet for just a moment here. And so as we're deepening into your Akashic Records, the word Akasha, just as a reminder for anyone listening and just for your information, if it's relevant, Ilia, just means realm of the divine or high frequency realm of conscious awareness, excuse me. So as we're deepening into your records, the records are sort of known as this hall of, you could say, some people see it like literal books on shelves where the history of your soul, everything your soul has been through in its incarnated forms is kept a record of in this hall of records known as the Akashic Records. So that's what we're doing and that's where we are. I'm going to keep my eyes closed, but you can feel free to have yours closed or open, whatever's more comfortable for you. The first thing that comes through, and then I want to hear whatever questions or anything you want to bring into consciousness to hear. But one thing that's coming is sort of a question about your, there's like a presence of, I want to say like Native American-ness. There's like a relationship for your soul with the sort of Native traditions of this country. What can you tell me about that? Do you have a connection to that culture? Do you have any lineage you're aware of?
No. Few things. I've always felt like in a past life I was like a chief's daughter. In terms of like my lineage, I'm Dominican, and I know that I have Taíno in me. But I'm not necessarily like fully connected to that. And third, like, I mean, a lot of people, sometimes they'll clock me as like Native. So those are the three.
Okay, so I'll just put this how they show it to me. It's like, if you were to go to and spend some time on like a, like in one of the power portal centers of our planet, like if you were to go to the southwest of the United States and just hang out at Albuquerque or, you know, Cortez, or just like any of the places in the Southwest down there, you would want to be prepared for some activations that would occur spontaneously for you, which is to say, there's a strong connection with your soul and the four directions. I don't work with the four directions all the time myself, but I did get initiated into them such that I do have access to the energy they provide and the frequency that they are. And they're just very present as soon as I get in your records. So if you'd like, they're offering, they could do a little activation now to align you with the four directions, which is to say, what would be the value of that? The reason to do it would be, it would be another set of frequencies you could communicate with, pray to, talk with, ask for help from, the four directions, should you desire it, that's something we could do. Another thing I'm going to put a pin in that for 1 second. Another thing that's here is there's a bit of integration work that wants to occur on your journey, which is to say, you know, there's spirit and there's body and there's trauma and there's love for all of us. When we process the pain of the trauma of the past through the heart, meaning we actually grieve it and cry about it and rage about it and do whatever we need to do emotionally to actually process the past. When we, the more of that we do, the more we experience our wholeness. And they're sort of addressing this, I might go crazy idea. Remember that, and you know this already, but we'll remind you, the way to not go crazy, as it were, is to grieve the pain of the past. It can feel like the way to not go crazy is to avoid the past or just forget about it. But grieving it brings you in touch with yourself more intimately. We know you know this, but it's a validation. Remember that at the points where you feel like, am I losing my shit? It's very simple. Know this. Something you're sad about wants to be felt. So could you get in touch with your low belly or your heart or your throat and just be fucking sad? If you could just be sad for a while or a minute or whatever, you will feel grounded again after you're sad. So oftentimes the tendency when we have a feeling of I'm super ungrounded and I don't know, I might lose it, I might spin out, is there's a tendency for human beings, particularly creatives, to go up and out and to go higher vibe. Those are the times you want to actually go down and in. And you've already articulated that you understand this. So hallelujah to that. Okay. How does any of that land for you? Thoughts, feelings, in response, questions?
It all makes super sense. When you offered to like open it right now, there was like fear. But I think that's just, I think that's normal. And I think, yeah, I think I'd be open to it.
So the four directions thing, you mean?
Yeah.
So we're going to have you just...
My laptop is at 5%. Should I grab my charger?
Yes.
Yeah, plug in. No problem.
What is it about charging of things today? That's some kind of deep fucking metaphor right there.
It's true.
We've got to make sure and give ourselves access to that which will power us. And not allow our batteries to be fully depleted.
Indeed.
That's the deep spiritual lesson of the day.
You good? You plugged in? Okay, great. Okay. So we'll have you close your eyes again. And we're just going to have you, if you can, just like relax your body into the chair that you're in. Fully surrendering the weight of yourself into the chair. And allowing the chair to do the hard work of holding you up. You get to surrender the need to hold yourself together or hold yourself up. And we just give that over to this much more competent chair. We often, all of us, feel like we have to hold ourselves together when really letting go is often more productive. And as you breathe into your low belly, allow your heart to soften just a bit. Feeling into the low belly, allowing the heart to open just a teeny tiny bit, the aperture of the lens of the heart just expanding just a little tiny bit. We're calling on the light and the frequencies and the power and the potency of the four directions. And Ilya is saying she's open to receive transmission from the four directions. For the sake of her own spiritual development, emotional processing, integration work, and for the sake of her becoming more whole and feeling more supported by the universe. And its divine elements and aspects. Breathing into now the third chakra, the solar plexus, so below the heart but above the belly button. Softening the heart just a little more. Feeling into, as weird as it may seem, the throat and the back of the neck, and staying present to whatever's there. If it's uncomfortable, don't worry, it'll pass. Sink right into it. go right into the worst of it. If there's any tightness or stress. So, Ilya, can you tell me a little bit about what's happening for you in your body right now? Anything at all?
I just feel expansive. Feeling like sensuality. Have like a sphere in my, but I'm also in the sphere at the same time.
Could you say that again? I couldn't hear you.
I like there's fear at the same time.
Did you say fear with an F as in Frank?
Sphere.
Oh.
Like a circle.
Where is the sphere?
In my throat.
Okay, good. Okay. Let's do this if you're up for it. Take yourself energetically into the experience of the sphere. So feel the sphere 100%. Rather than watching it from outside, I want you to just really become it. You already are, but let's go even further. Okay, tell me a little bit about what's happening in the throat now.
Just a bunch of, like a bunch of thoughts just running through them. Just a bunch of like truths that I already know to be just like continuing to like cement them.
Cool. And as you feel into the throat, what does it feel like in there now? Is the sphere there? Is it different? Is it bigger? Is it smaller? Is it gone?
It like moved into like the room of my mouth.
Did you say the roof of your mouth or the something of your mouth?
Like the space between my mouth. Like if I had like a ping pong in my mouth.
I see. Okay.
And in my head too. It just went up.
Okay, sink into it, feel it, become like one with it, and let's watch what it does for just a moment here. And as you sink into it and feel it in the mouth and the head, what's happening now?
It went on top of my head,
uh-huh.
And it cracked like an egg.
There we go.
And then the yolk just...
What's the yolk doing?
It's just running down my body.
Okay. So a little context here, and then we'll kind of wrap this up for today. This ball, this sphere, was the disconnect between what you feel and what you say, like what you know and feel, and then your ideas. There was this separation. And it was a holdover from the church. And it's cleared, and the egg is the metaphor for the, you know, the birth, the new life of the true you, the essential self, you know, the egg, the you. There's a reminder to you, part of your whole thing, this incarnation is you, that song, say what you need to say, say what you need to say. Is like running through my head loud. And it's like, they're like, this is your lifetime where you say the things, you, by saying them and singing them and being them, you bring them into being. Incant is the word. You're like incanting spirit into form. Don't ever feel like you can't say that thing. You'll be the person in the room who they need to have say it. It is a, you know, the saying, with great responsibility comes great something.
With great power comes great responsibility.
Yes, that one. So with
Spider-Man,
you have the power to be the one who speaks the thing in the room. Like, I don't know why this is the example, but like Shonda Rhimes, like you're going to be like her. In other words, you have the opportunity, you have the possibility, you have the personality, you have the strength, you have the vulnerability to stand up and speak where most people wouldn't, couldn't, and might be responded to poorly. Understand, people in rooms that you're in want you to say the thing that you also want to be saying, but aren't sure if you should say. You're the mouthpiece often. And it's correct. It's part of your whole purpose this time around. As you grow and mature, Excuse me. This is just the energy moving. You will become more and more skillful and wise. Skillful at knowing what to say and how. When to say it, how to frame it. That will take some time, but don't worry, because you're so present and available and attentive to your experiences, particularly in creative contexts and work environments, that you'll pick up quite quickly on what should be said and what should not be said, when it should be said, who can hear it and who cannot hear it. Remember that when we speak truth to power that isn't ready to hear it, we often get daggers back. But when we speak truth to power that is ready to hear it, we get all the doors of possibility open. So the question for you to be looking at all the time is this person actually open and can they hear? How will you know? Your gut will know. Your heart will know. Your mind does not have the answers you need ever. Your body is a psychic antenna of awareness, period. This transmission, activation, and alignment with the four directions will continue to unfurl and unfold within you for the coming 2 weeks. If you're a little extra tired, extra energy, extra no energy, don't panic. It's just moving through your system. On the 3D level, your being is very receptive. And remember, lastly, okay, your emotions are the midway point between spirit and body, or between spirit and form. So where the cults get it wrong is they want to program everyone out of their emotions, because emotions liberate people, and emotions are messy, and emotions are complicated. But without emotions, there's no way to translate the information from spirit, from like pure consciousness, into the body and into this earth. So we have to feel emotionally. It's like spirit is air, emotions are water or plasma, and body is form, cement, rock, okay? So you need the waters of the emotions to be a transmitting point and a fluid through which consciousness can transmit in this weird 3D dense reality we're surviving through.
Okay.
Any questions?
No, but the last thing that you just said, I mean, that's exactly it when I'm acting, particularly, or like singing like live. It's exactly how it feels like it gets like it dumps through, and yeah.
Okay. I'm going to close the records. I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for their love and compassion, the lords of the records for their point of view, and the Holy Spirit of Light for all knowledge and healing. I ask that you return all of Ilya's energy to herself now, please. The divine, I ask that you return her to her complete human wholeness now. The divine portal and the Akashic records of Ilya, whose last name are Paulina, are now closed. Amen. The divine portal and the Akashic records of Ilya Paulina are now closed. Amen. The divine portal and the Akashic records of Ilya Paulina are closed. Amen. Shadwan Leha Illallah, Shadwan Muhammad Abduhu Rasulullah. And so it is. Oh my gosh. Thank you, Ilya. You are a special, special being.
Thank you. Oh, thank you both. It's beautiful.
Thank you for being with us.
Of course.
Only amazing, incredible, empowered things in your future. I'll tell you that much.
And yeah, and I feel like that. I feel that.
Don't ever let the man thing confuse you.
Do you know you're not the only person to tell me that?
They don't know fucking fuck all. And the ones who do, they'll show up anyway.
Can confirm.
Yeah. I'm really starting to learn that lesson. And I'm excited for it when it like...
congeals. Yeah. All right, my friend. So nice to meet you. Come back and see us again.
I will. Oh my God, this is amazing.
Thank you so much. You're such a joy. So fun to talk to you.
Have a good one, baby.
All right. You too.
You have a beautiful day.
Bye.
What a joy.
Oh my God.
Oh shit. I want to hang out with her. Now I do just want to go watch all of her shit.
For real.
I'm like,
I want to be that person.
It is amazing. It's so good to see you, Cass. I'm glad we're back.
I love you, Katie.
This was great.
Let's see each other sometime.
Yeah, let's like do people stuff.
Yeah, maybe this week.
Okay.
Come over and see your place.
Come over.
All right.
Okay, I love you. Let's do it.
Well, I love you so much. Have an amazing rest of your day.
Thanks, you too.
I'm glad you're healthy and home.
Thanks, honey.
Bye, darling. Do your
love
work.
Love you, bye.
Were you asking for all of the answers? Say what? All of the answers? Yeah, all the answers.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @AllAnswersPod. Thank you.
I'm just kidding. It's a joke. How about that stock market? My broker is E.F. Hutton, and E.F. Hutton says, you see, never works. It never works. I've never seen it work.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
What's in there?
Cass, where's your lunch?
You're wearing it.
You're nauseating.